Hey everyone, and welcome back
to
the Business of Freelancing podcast, where we help you get better clients, make more money, and live a happier life freelancing. So you've probably heard the word productized used within the last year or so. It's literally everywhere. Everyone's talking about productized consulting, productized services, productized whatever it might be. And there's, unfortunately, it's one of those things that as an outsider, somebody who is strictly selling the combination of some amount of time and their technical abilities or expertise, transitioning from selling yourself that way to selling yourself as a product or selling your services as a product can be kind of a big leap to make. I've done it multiple times in the past. I'm actually doing it again now for a new agency that I'm starting that's going to be focused on helping companies who have, and I think I mentioned this in the last podcast episode, companies that have traffic and people are going to their website or their blog, but they're not, there's something missing between the content and the conversion results, whether that be a sale or a lead being generated or whatever it might be. So I'm going to be calling it step three consulting. So step three consulting is going to be in a company that helps people who produce content and they produce it and they have produced it, but they're not getting the kind of results that they're hoping for, whether it be, they're writing a lot of blog posts, maybe they're writing one blog post a week, but they're not getting the kind of sales or the kind of leads that they want or that they were hoping that that content would be giving them. So step three is kind of, step one is create the blog. Step two is write content for the blog. Step three is dot, dot, dot. And step four is supposed to be profit, right? So step three is going to be a productized service that I'm creating that will help companies kind of flesh out that third step and really make it, really help connect creating content with actually getting the kind of results or whatever that that a company needs. So one of my good friends, Brian Castle, he has a company called Restaurant Engine, and Brian's also a member of one of my mastermind groups. So he and I talk all the time, and we talk bi-weekly now about, kind of about what each of us are up to. And he's been really building up this amazing productized service that is helping people who run and own restaurants get more customers. So, you might be a web designer and you might have built a few websites for restaurants, let's say, in the past. But what Brian's done is Brian's come up with a product, a packaged product that is very specific in terms of what his customers end up getting. And he's selling this product to restaurants, but people, human beings are still the ones fulfilling the product. So he's created a lot of processes that help him kind of turn, what he's selling into something real. He's got these processes that delineate everything from this is how we get, when we get a new customer, this is how we identify what they need. This is how we go about, fleshing out and building the website and, and delivering it and so on. It's really amazing what he's done. So I wanted to bring Brian on because he knows a lot about productized services and productized consulting. And, I think we had a really good discussion and really good chat, a pre-Thanksgiving chat about what it means to productize yourself. So listen in. All right. So I'm here with Brian Castle. Brian, welcome to the Business of Freelancing.
Brennan, thanks for having me on. This is great.
Cool. So I know it's Thanksgiving week, so we're probably slammed, but I wanted to thank you first off for coming on the podcast today. I want to talk to you today about something that seems to be kind of all the rage online nowadays, and that is having freelancers and consultants who productize their services. But before we get into that, I just want to do a quick intro for those of you who don't know you. So Brian is the host of Bootstrap Web, really great podcast that I recommend all of you subscribe to. And he's also the owner of Restaurant Engine. And he just released a new course called Productize. So, Brian, want to tell me a bit about, or tell the audience rather, not me. I know you were mastermind buddies, but tell me a bit about, or tell us a bit about who you are, how you got started, and what you're up to.
Yeah, sure. So, Let's see. I'm a web designer by trade. That's usually what I tell people. And I've been, you know, working on the web for several years now. I started out working for a web design agency, and then I became a freelancer. I did freelance web design for a number of years. And So I've been out on my own since early 2008. For a number of years there, I did freelance web design, you know, typical kind of consulting jobs, small and larger clients over the years. But, you know, after a couple of years of that, I got a little bit burnt out on, you know, working with the larger corporate clients and whatnot, and I wanted to move toward products. And I got into a number of different products over the years, but the one that's really been kind of sticking for the last 3 years has been Restaurant Engine, and that's what I spend most of my time on today. So Restaurant Engine is it's a web design service for, as you might have guessed, restaurants and food trucks and that kind of stuff. But it's delivered in kind of a SaaS model, software as a service. But really over the last 3 years, it's kind of changed and evolved into much more of a productized service.
So it's less about like giving them a template and saying, fill in your name and operating hour. You actually do some sort of manpower in the background.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We do quite a bit, actually. So even before customers sign up, we do a number of, you know, phone consultations with them, email follow-up. So we have like a whole manual onboarding process. And then once they're signed up, my team manually sets up their website, does design customizations, inputs all their content for them. You know, basically we say like, just send us your food menu or just send us your old website. We'll take it from there and get you set up in 3 to 5 days. Mm-hmm. Ongoing, you know, my team also makes updates for them. So if they get busy, which most restaurant owners do, you know, they could just send us an email and we'll make routine updates for them, like changing out photos, changing food specials and whatnot. So it is very much a manually delivered service, but we've scaled it up and we've streamlined it using systems and processes and whatnot. So, you know, just been kind of plugging away and bootstrapping and building that up for the last three years or so. And then, you know, on the other side of what I do is writing and podcasting. So my site is castjam.com, and that's where I send a weekly-ish newsletter, new articles about bootstrapping and building up a business and leveling up, a lot about making that transition from like freelancing into a products business or just growing, you know, leveling up in some way. So last month I launched this new course, Productize, all about building a productized service. And not only launching the service, but also it goes heavy into the systems and processes and delegating, you know, learning how to delegate to a team. And then there's a big section on marketing as well, like how to market a productized service, how to get those very first customers, and then how to grow that over time.
Okay. So basically what you're doing is you created a niche web design company that sells your services, not as, you know, hey, we're a team of designers, you can hire us and so on. You sell it like a SaaS, you sell it like software, right? Like, your marketing site, you know, for all I know, I mean, it's a turnkey, just plug in my credit card, plug in some info and I get a site generated. But you're saying that's not how it works. But from the perspective of me, the customer, I don't really care how it works, but it looks like that, at least, you know, from my perspective, right?
Yeah, totally. And that's kind of like the big learning that I had with this was like, so, I mean, ever since the beginning, you know, some things have stayed the same and then some things have changed and evolved over the years. In the beginning, I launched it and it was supposed to be, you know, completely do-it-yourself, from my perspective, like hands-off. I want customers to sign up, enter their credit card, and site is generated for them, and then they can set it up and manage it themselves. Technically, they can still do that today. But what I learned was when we offered to set up the site for them, not only are they much more successful, like we can make sure the site looks great and it helps them get more customers, but they also remain subscribed for a much longer period of time. And they just get a whole lot out of it. They're more engaged when we're doing the work for them. So that was a great way of getting customers on board, but also helping them stay. And then we started charging for that setup service. Obviously, you know, it doesn't make sense for us to be entering food menus that are like 50 plus items long, you know, for free. So we started charging for the service, and it's still extremely reasonably priced compared to, say, hiring a web designer or hiring someone like me a few years ago, you know, which would have cost, you know, several thousand dollars to get a website done. We can get you up and running in, you know, a low monthly cost or, you know, just a couple hundred dollars per year. Mm-hmm. So the economics, I think, make sense. And then really overall, what we are, like you said, we're presenting it as a product. You know, here's the price. We're upfront about the pricing. It's not the sort of thing where you have to, okay, let's have a bunch of meetings and we'll discuss scope and we'll get back to you with a long proposal and we'll do, you know, we basically eliminate the entire discovery process. And we've laid out this value proposition. Here's what's included. Here is who this benefits the most. And here are the problems that we're solving. And if you're the type of customer who stands to benefit from this, then here's how to sign up.
Right. Which is obviously much better than just the open-ended, hey, I'm a web designer, and maybe I can create you a website for your restaurant that'll actually get you more walk-in customers or whatever they care about. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was, so I imagine though that even though you have a relatively low setup fee, I mean, it's still, am I correct in assuming that the setup fee is really a loss leader for you and you make it all up on the back end? Like you're not doing, like the way that most website projects that I see tend to play out is, you have active development, which is we'll design it from scratch. We'll create you, you know, five pages and all that other stuff, right? And then they switch it into a retainer, which is just like a lower, like, you know, they're a much smaller version of that, right?
Yeah.
How much time do you guys spend up front? Like, I mean, are you making a profit off of that setup fee? And if not, or do you have down like a pretty specific cancellation rate, which then allows you to see like, well, you know, even though X percent of people cancel within X many months, I can still kind of, you know, on the back end, the people who are paying me each and every month, that's where am I correct in assuming that's where you're making your profit?
Yeah. So I think you're right that overall, you know, we are making our money on the back end, the ongoing recurring service. One of the biggest, you know, plus points of this business of what we've built here is that we do have a very, very low cancellation rate and we have a long lifetime customer value. I mean, even like our very first customers who signed up 3 years ago are still subscribed with us today. And, so I think compared to other SaaS tools out there, like, you know, like a software tool that you might use on the side here and there, Restaurant Engine, I mean, we're providing their website. Mm-hmm. So it's a very central piece to a small business's operation. I mean, they need to show themselves on the web. And, you know, once they're established with us and we set them up and we optimize everything for them and it's working for them,
you're not going to move. Yeah.
Yeah. It really just doesn't even make sense to move. And if it does, you know, then, I mean, like the cost and the time involved in switching is pretty high. Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of like the economics of it, like we do spend quite a bit of time setting up their sites, but this really varies from customer to customer. Like sometimes they're very hands-on and they have a lot of, you know, feedback and revisions. And we do, you know, we don't make any limits on it. So we'll say like, listen, we're going to work with you until you're happy with it and we'll get it up and running and launched. But the vast majority of customers, we do get them launched in 3 to 5 business days. Most of the time we can just kind of grab the content from their old website or their Facebook page or their PDF menu. We'll get it all in there and then we show it to them and they'll say, you know, looking good, or here are just a few tweaks. So yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense overall. And then the other piece to this is that we've streamlined our process internally quite a bit. So I mentioned how early on when I launched it, I really wanted it to be like a do-it-yourself website builder. So I invested a lot of time and money into building all these like customization options and making it easy to input content and manage content. It is all built on WordPress, but we did quite a bit of like custom work inside the dashboard of WordPress. What it turned out to be was all that work that we put into setting up those tools and the do-it-yourself options, now we actually use them ourselves to make our setup process extremely fast.
Right, right.
So we do have a number of templates that we start off with, but we'll then customize them. We'll even add some like custom CSS work and whatnot. My team they've done, you know, hundreds of these setups by now, so they're extremely fast and efficient with doing this stuff. So it works out.
And I think that's, to be honest, that's the biggest drawing point for me to productized services is that, I mean, it's exactly what you just said. Brian is not a required component of a successful delivery, right? Like you own the company, but you're not expected by anyone, by your clients or anyone, to be a part of that setup. So you can then, because you're selling it as a, this is what you pay and this is what you get, it's up to you to then streamline how efficiently you can get to that end goal of, you know, the site being up. So you can either automate stuff by writing custom code and building stuff that allows you to churn out these sites faster. But on top of that, you can you can delegate out to cheaper talent, people to do kind of this like turnkey, okay, do this first, then this, then this, then this, and that's how we get set up, which I love. I mean, it's so much better than just kind of these open-ended engagements that most freelancers have, where there isn't any sort of process or procedure in place, right?
Yeah, totally. And that has been pretty much my entire goal with building this restaurant engine business since day one is I wanted to build a business that not only runs on its own, but actually grows every month without my having to touch any part of the procedure. You know, like a couple of months back, my family and I took a vacation, you know, for about a week. We have like a newborn baby, took the dog and everything. I spent a week, you know, completely unplugged, and we signed up 6 new customers that week, and they all got set up and they were happy. And, you know, I'll check in and get updates from my team and whatnot. But, essentially that's what I've been spending the last 3 years building is this, systematized operation that runs completely without me. And again, in the beginning, I wanted it to be kind of built on software and using that. And there's some software built in, like I described, but for the most part, it's been through building these systems, writing lots of procedures, you know, refining these procedures over time, hiring the right people and just kind of, you know, setting things up and then going through and picking out the pieces that are just not quite delegated yet. I mean, I would say today about 90% of the operations are completely removed from my plate. And I'm now kind of working on like the final 10%, you know, but you know, like when I, through teaching about productized services, I find that there are kind of two big groups or two kind of buckets that these fall into. And one is like productized consulting. And then the other is this productized service business model. So
what would you say? I mean, I've been using the terms interchangeably. What would you say the big difference is?
Yeah, I tend to, and you know, they all kind of apply in different ways, really. But I think that productized consulting, when I think of that, I'm thinking of like a solo founder and somebody who might want to remain solo and isn't necessarily interested in growing out a team. Mm-hmm. And they highly value their time, but they also really value their craft. So somebody that I look to, a guy that, you know, Nick DiSabato, he founded Draft Revise, and his service is, really a brilliant, you know, productized consulting package that he's put together. He does like monthly, A/B testing, conversion optimization for his clients. And when I was interviewing him, as part of the research for the course, he was saying how, you know, cause I look at an operation like his and it's like, clearly it's set up that he could start hiring and he could systemize and delegate and grow this operation. But he said he was totally comfortable, you know, working with his, you know, seven or eight or 10 customers at a time, just ongoing, you know, building these strong relationships with his clients. And then Nick gets to focus solely on his craft, on the thing that he likes to do best, which is, you know, strategy around conversion optimization and whatnot. And he's been able to remove all of the other kind of mundane, you know, tedious stuff that often goes along with freelancing, you know, like writing up contracts and chasing down invoices and proposals and all that fun stuff.
So would you say the big difference is, it sounds to me like a productized service is more like an agency model, whereas a productized consulting offering is more a high value individual who works on some sort of, you get a slice of his or her mind every month sort of thing, right?
I think it's kind of like that. Well, with a productized service business, I'm thinking more along the lines of something that it does grow and it does scale. Mm-hmm. You might call that an agency, or another great example of this would be Dan Norris. He built WP Curve.
Right.
You know, this business is entirely manual work. I mean, they offer personalized customer support for WordPress, and so, you know, it started, I think, in his first week, it was just Dan, and he was doing like live chat support. He even like had like a, you know,
I
he tells the story of
his like phone would be next to his bed, and it would right, like, right. Because he's in Australia, so it's like he has a bunch of us, you know, US based people, and they're like buzzing him at 3 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I did not envy his lifestyle at the time.
exactly. You know, but he's written about it, and he's talked about how, like, he only did that for the first, you know, couple of weeks, and then he quickly began to hire the team and put those systems in place. And I think this was only about a year ago, right? So over the past year, now they have a team of like 20, 25 teammates, you know, hundreds of customers. They're just killing it right now. And it's all just systems, you know, procedures, standard guidelines that his team follows. And I've kind of been, you know, going along that route, the productized service scaling up route with Restaurant Engine over the past couple of years is, you know, so I have that goal of kind of removing myself as the founder.
Right. Would you say there's any difference in benefits, to the customer between a internally focused productized consulting operation versus productized service? I mean, so case in point, Restaurant Engine, you sell growth enhancing restaurant optimized websites, whereas what Nick's selling is monthly, you know, website strengthening through A/B testing, and Dan's selling kind of on demand smart person who can go in and you know, fix stuff on your WordPress site, right? Like, so they're all like, to me at least, I mean, from the benefit perspective from a customer, there's not a huge amount of difference. It's the way I look at it is more like, is there anything when it comes to kind of your outward presentation that's different, that's inherently different about that distinction between a productized service company and a productized consulting company?
Well, I think there is a difference, you know, from the customer's perspective for these three examples that we just mentioned, right? Like Nick Disabato, Draft Revised, Dan Norris, WP Curve, and my Restaurant Engine. And I think really the biggest difference is the type of customer that these serve, because mm-hmm. it's like three completely different people who have different values. You know, Nick is serving a little bit of a higher end.
Because he's in the four figures a month, right?
Like, right, exactly. So these are
$70 or something a month, right?
Yeah, so they both might be working with businesses that are pretty large and have a lot of money to spend, but right. Like the WP Curve value proposition is, look, we're just here to give you like quick help with your WordPress site and kind of like give you that peace of mind that you could always just call on someone. You know, I'd imagine that a lot of his customers don't even use their support service every single month, you know, but they like just kind of having it. You know, having that security of knowing that, like,
policy.
Yeah, like somebody's there, and it only costs them $70 a month.
And I mean, they're not going to be doing any sort of like high level strategy, like how should we optimize conversions? Like, they're not going to do that, right? Like, that's
right.
Not their thing. They're
right.
Yeah. So, okay. So that makes some more, to me at least, that makes more sense. Where productized consulting is kind of more higher level strategic, but lower volume, lower custom, like lower numbers of customers, I assume, right? Like whereas with Restaurant Engine, with your price points, you necessarily need a lot of customers to make a profit, because, you know, you're not charging $2,000 a month per customer.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, one more note on what Nick is doing with the higher priced, you know, more hands-on, lower number of clients. You know, you might start to look at that and say, okay, well, you're getting into just straight consulting territory where, you know, like what I used to do, like any client comes to my door and wants any type of website, I could do it, or I could figure out how to do it, whether it's e-commerce or membership or portfolio, whatever. But what Nick is doing and what a productized consulting model is you really only do one thing. You solve one problem and you have kind of like one methodology. And yes, it might be very hands-on and you might get FaceTime with the client every month and all that, but he only does conversion optimization. Like, you wouldn't go to Nick DeSabato to have, you know, like an e-commerce website built.
That's right. Yeah. So okay. So I think now I understand what, okay. So just to recap, because I want to jump into two more things. I want to jump into your recommendations for people who are kind of like at that stage where they're saying, I would love to get into stuff, but how do I start? And secondly, I want to talk about process driven companies, because I think, you know, you were involved, if I recall, in a startup that actually was focused on this at a time, but I know you're really good at kind of building these. I think I was listening to an episode of your podcast where Jordan was saying that he had a look at like one of your processes and he was like overwhelmed by how detailed and methodical it was.
Yeah. We actually have a process for our podcast how to get it edited and all that. Yeah,
I need to you know, hire you as a productized consulting offering for my, my internal stuff. But anyway, so, okay. So I want to shift the tone of the conversation, or shift the topic of the conversation real quick and talk about beginnings. So the average listener of this podcast is probably still in the position where they're selling time. They're selling themselves as a talented individual and saying, you can basically rent me and here's my costs. And, you know, I will give me a problem and I will solve said problem for this much an hour or this much a week or whatever that might be. The big question I get from people on my list is, well, how do I determine like what to do, right? Because, and I'm actually writing about this week, but a lot of people tell people that you should niche your services, that you should come up with a niche that you work within. And a lot of people are worried about that because they say, well, I don't want to back myself into a corner. I can do theoretically anything, right? Like, so why would I want to say like, why would I want to reject the law firm who wants the service that Restaurant Engine provides, right? Like, you know,
right.
So how do you recommend, I guess, going from strictly selling your time to making the first move toward some sort of productized service?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I think it's really just getting down to focus, and that means focusing on one service, and I want to talk more about this in a second. And it's picking one service and then picking one customer who you're going to focus on. Now, the service, I've written a lot about, you know, just doing one thing and one very specific service, but really what I'm talking about is one solution, like one tackling one big problem. And I was actually reading your article, I think last week, talking about how you're putting together this new agency, and it sounds like it's kind of like a productized service model, right? And I was looking at what you were talking about, like the things that you would deliver to a client. And it's technically like a number of different services, right? Like you'll do some consulting, some writing, some programming. But you're really solving one problem, and that's helping them, you know, build a better sales funnel on their website.
That's right.
Or their
and that's,
you know,
where I
software.
Started. I didn't start with the, well, I could do split testing, I could do retargeting. Like, I didn't, you know, that was all, I don't want to say accidental, but that was a spinoff off of when I understood what that problem was. And I understood that because that's at the heart of why people have hired me traditionally.
Right.
So even though my engagements are always wildly different, at the heart, there's always some core need. And that's what I'm advertising that I'm solving, because I'm going to be, again, any good product, you sell it on the solution and not the offer. The offer is what you do. The solution is what they get.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge, regardless of what you're selling, whether it's yourself or software, you need to think like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then that takes us to the next piece of this, is focusing in on one customer. So you've identified, all right, what is the problem that I or my team is best equipped to solve, and we have our kind of bulletproof methodology for how we solve this problem. Now, who has this problem, and who probably a lot of different people have that problem, right? Like people need more sales, need to save more time, whatever it is. But then you have to figure out, all right, who's really experiencing this problem most acutely, right? Like who can benefit the most,
right,
from having this?
Who's your ideal client? Like what is your ideal business client? Like, right.
Yeah. And then it's, just, you know, once you have that nailed down, then it's just a matter of finding more of those people and figuring out how can I reach those people? How can I build relationships with them and all that? And now like one distinction that I want to make here is, you know, people look at what I've built with Restaurant Engine. Okay. You focused on a niche vertical. And I think that works in certain situations. Like that was the approach that I took, when it came to building a web design service. But you don't necessarily have to pick just one tightly focused vertical or industry to focus on, you know. It can just kind of be a group of customers who share this same problem or need. Like I'd imagine that your customers and your new agency, they're not necessarily all email marketing service providers. They, you know, they'll be kind of across the board, you know, software companies, I'm guessing.
Right. I like to look at it in, so I focus, or I split my niche concepts, I guess, into two different buckets. The first is vertical, like restaurant, law firm, you know, what kind of like business are they, right? Like what kind of business does the end customer have? And the second is obviously, well, what is the need? So, I mean, I could have potentially, let's say, so the agency I'm putting together, we're going to be focusing on helping people who have a blog and they have content, but for whatever reason, that content is not resulting in any new leads or any new sales, kind of tying those two places together, those two steps together, I guess.
Yeah, totally.
That could be done. I mean, the customer could be, because we're selling that. We're selling, you have a blog and this blog is supposed to be instrumental in your business's success. It isn't yet. I mean, the people who've reached out so far, DNS management company, another agency, actually, you know, a consulting company.
Right.
So, I mean, there's no, like, now I do think if you can combine the two, you can have a really, like, if I can say I help, restaurants who have blogs and these blogs are not, well, restaurants would be bad example for this, but I help, law firms who have written content, but this content is not generating you new legal leads. That is a very strong positioning because I'm then focusing on a specific problem for a specific kind of business. But I don't think that you need to have both to do this. I think you can just pick one using something like the turnkey framework you have with Restaurant Engine as lead gen first. That's kind of like if you think of like Rob Walling with Hittail, right? They have the one-click order an article around any flat or any suggested keyword that comes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
He could build up a monster content writing agency that makes a lot of money and use Hittail as the acquisition channel for those gigs, right?
Yeah, totally.
Which is, you know, I just think is great. Like, I love that kind of stuff. It's kind of something I've thought about doing with PlanScope, even where, you know, a lot of the companies who sign up for PlanScope are these. They tend to be small agencies. They have, you know, a single founder who's maybe not like, you know, they're just trying to keep their business afloat. And we've thought about doing things like, well, you know, I know a lot of really smart people who run agencies who would be willing to do, you know, mentoring or coaching on the side, or even doing things like proposal reviews before they go out, like things that aren't related to the product necessarily, or aren't a part of the product, or aren't a feature of the product, but are things that the customers who sign up for the product tend to need. So
yeah. And it's like, it doesn't necessarily have to be for every customer. Like maybe
it's self-segmenting.
You know,
like
one segment of customers, you know, it is the right fit. Like for us, this Marketing Boost service, you know, we have a handful of customers who've expressed some early interest in it. I don't think everyone would go for it. But, you know, and then we also we try to steer away from the things where it's just like one person has one very weird request. You know, in those cases, we'll either have to be like, well, can't quite do that, but we could do this. Or we would say, well, no, that's, you know, we're just not the right fit.
Or you could even do, one of the things I know companies like Xero do, is they have like a database of accountants, right? Who, and I think Alan of, who you guys just interviewed, mm-hmm. Alan of Less Accounting does the same thing where they can hook you up with the, like maybe you could have marketing consultants, like a directory or something, right? Like, maybe you're not yeah. making a profit off of it, but you're at least benefiting your customers by making that connection for them.
Yeah, exactly. And this is something that I've actually been meaning to do for a while, is having like some kind of partners page or like a recommended vendors page.
Right.
Because there are a number of vendors that we have built relationships with, and we'd like to recommend their services. So just like having some, and we also want to show our customers that we can integrate just about anything. I mean, our sites are built on WordPress. They're pretty flexible. And my team is really great at, you know, dropping things into their site and making them look good. So, we want to make it clear that like there really are very few limitations to what you can build on top of like in terms of like third party widgets and whatnot. Like having something like that to show what we can integrate with would be good.
Okay, cool. So last thing I want to touch on is, creating processes. And I think this is important regardless of if you're doing any sort of productized whatever or not. I mean, even if you're doing straight up consulting, I think it's important to have, this is how I onboard new clients. This is how I put together proposals. This is how I follow up, and you know, all that kind of stuff. I think is important to have as a process. Cause when I did that, even though I was the one following the guidelines early on, it just made it so there was less, I was actually listening to one of Tim Ferriss's recent podcasts was about how you kind of have this pool of like decision-making abilities each day.
And oh yeah. Yeah. I was listening to that one.
Yeah. So you know how everything you do, like anytime you need to think, do I go down path A or path B, you deplete kind of that allotment you have daily. So if you can minimize that, that's all the better. So, you know, I wasn't thinking in those terms when I did this all, but I was thinking, well, wouldn't it be great if like we keep doing these projects and, you know, we've learned some stuff. I don't want to be the only person who has this knowledge of how we bring on a new client. Why don't I write it all down and make it so maybe I don't need to be the only one doing this in the future. But on top of that, I think even just for myself, when I do get a new client, I'd rather just kind of zone out and think, okay, I'm just going to go through this checklist instead of actually needing to kind of bring to memory, well, should I do this or do I do this next? You know, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, so totally.
I'd love to hear about how you've baked processes and procedures into your business.
Yeah, sure. So I have a process that I'll give you guys right now. It's kind of like it's really like a three-step process for building these systems. But before I get right into that, I mean, like you just said, I mean, really the whole mindset here is I want to get things out of my head and documented so that my team can follow them. And what happens is, you know, if my team asks me like Brian, how do I do this? Or Brian, how do I answer this customer's question or something like that? If I hear this question from my team come up like more than three times, I'm immediately starting to think like, all right, this needs to get into a system because I don't want to touch this again. Mm-hmm. So the whole idea is to remove myself from the service aspect. And I've done this, like, it's taken like a 3-year effort to fully remove myself like piece by piece from every, you know, part of the business. But here's kind of the process for how I think this can be done. So the first step, before you even begin writing procedures, before you even begin starting to hire anyone, I call this standardize. You really need to standardize what you're doing, because we all know that there are 10 different things to do, or 10 different ways to do the same thing. You know, 10 different ways to optimize a website, 10 different frameworks you can use to build an app or a site or whatever. You've got to standardize what you do and focus in on like one methodology, one set of tools, one kind of thing. So you're focusing in on like one service and one solution and one customer, which we talked about before, but you're also focusing in on like one way of doing that, one way of working. So you don't want to do everything. You don't want to do it in all different ways. So it's all about standardizing. That's step one. And really the idea is to make it as predictable as possible, right? The way that I do something today should be more or less the same way that I do it next week. Then the next step is to streamline it. So you're looking for ways to, whether it's using software or starting to kind of focus in on those steps in the process, like how can we minimize the number of steps or find these little tricks or workarounds or, you know, ways to get things done a little bit faster. Maybe that means using templates or using one standard framework and really optimizing that for your workflow. There are a number of different ways to streamline, but that's the whole idea in this step two, is just boost efficiency by streamlining your operation. And then you get into documenting, and this is, you know, documentation. I mean, the whole idea here is to get everything out of your head and into a standard operating procedure. Now, the thing that kind of trips people up quite often here is when you think about, okay, I do this task every day or every week. Let's say it's like sending out my weekly newsletter. I know how to do that. I've done it hundreds of times myself before. I know that I can get this done in like 20 minutes, in and out, easy, right? But when you begin to document the process, you have to spend a lot of extra time on this task. I mean, that's what it takes. You have to spend like up to three times longer, you know, today. So instead of just finishing your newsletter in like 10 to 20 minutes, today let's spend like an hour on that and just document all of the steps involved. So you have to kind of go into it knowing like this is going to take a lot of work, a lot of extra time. And, you know, and the goal here is to put in this extra time, this extra care now, so that next week maybe we can start to delegate this, or, you know, in a couple of months this thing runs completely on autopilot, my team is taking care of it, and I'm removed from it. And again, it's a long process, so it might take several months before you even get to that point. So in the beginning, you know, just kind of start simple, like just a quick bullet list of maybe, you know, open up MailChimp or Drip or whatever you're using. Step two, you know, start, you know, like opening up the new campaign, you know, step three, enter the content. And then next week, come back to it and add a little bit more detail. Like, all right, you know, start adding like screenshots and notate those screenshots with like arrows and circles and stuff. So, you know, just adding more and more granular detail to each step over time. And then like as the months and years go on, you constantly want to be refining these things over time. So maybe the interface changed in your email service and you need to switch around your procedure, or you just came up with like a new way of doing things that makes it even faster, you know. So you're just constantly like evolving these processes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I think I can tell you that when I think I'm representative a lot of people in that. The common pushback is, well, you know, the time I'm doing this is better spent just, you know, doing other things. And there's not always a direct like, well, if I spend a few hours writing together this thing that I do all the time, like how I invoice clients, you know, what's the point? Like, I know how to do that. It's easier for just to me do it every time anytime I need to invoice, just go through and do what I've been doing instead of needing to go through a process like this. But I think I love that three phase analogy you just presented, because I think that's what a lot of us end up doing accidentally, at least. Like for me, it was more like I just wanted to, I knew that my company was growing. I couldn't be the one in charge. Like, how am I, if I'm on vacation, a new lead comes in, what do I, you know, I don't want to need to be the hang up on that. And on top of that, I also realized that when we didn't standardize, because I was running this agency and I had, you know, close to a dozen people, the way that a client would get, would be served would change depending on who did it.
Yeah.
Which to me as the business owner was bad, because how am I supposed to sell a particular way of doing business and an outcome if after I promise a certain way of their project being handled, once it goes into the kind of like the, you know, once it gets thrown into the production aspect, once they're assigned client and we get to work, that I know that if it goes with, you know, Bob, the experience will be much better than if it goes with Jim. right? And I don't want that. Like, I totally can't have that happen. So
yeah,
I had to standardize. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, Bob goes on a vacation of his own for a week, and then it's like, you know, things go kind of haywire, or that person leaves, and now you're hiring a new person to take their place, and the changeover is kind of a big headache, right? Because the new person, new procedure, and all that. Yeah. And so, you know, one thing that I also really try to do is, like, now that I've removed myself from a lot of these procedures, now when I go in and update them or even creating new procedures, a lot of times I give that task to my teammates. I'll tell them, like, hey, can you just turn this into a procedure, or can you look at our website setup procedure and tell me if there's anything new that we need to change or improve? You know, I do this every couple of months, because now that I'm removed from it, like, I haven't done a website setup for Restaurant Engine in, like, probably over 2 years at this point. Mm-hmm. So I, like, my teammates know that process better than I do. And so they're much better at being the ones to update the procedure. And like, even in, like, our Help Scout support desk, you know, setting up, like, the tags and whatnot, I'm always consulting with them now. Like, is this the easiest way to do it? Like, how would it make your job more efficient? So I think it's really, like, a team effort, and ingraining that in their daily, you know, work is, like, everything needs to be documented. Right. And then, like, the other piece here was, you know, doing all these tasks yourself, and yes, you can get them done really, really quickly, and it's kind of a pain to go through this process of standardizing and then documenting and all this stuff. But you also need to be thinking about, what's the return on all of this? Like, what will I do as the founder now that my time is freed up? Like, if I don't have to send that invoice every week, how can I better spend that time? You know, or if I don't have to set up these websites all the time, like, now I have a whole block of hours every day opened up, and now I can focus on a new marketing campaign, or talking to more customers, or, you know, whatever, however I can actually add more value and start growing the business. That's how you start to see, like, a return, like, an ROI on all of this.
I think one of the other things too is, because you do have a team, you're not only making your time more valuable and more optimized, but you're making their time also more optimized, right? Because yep. they have marching orders for just about everything that they need to get done, which just makes it so there's less of this, like, hey, Brian, what do I do? Which distracts yeah. you. It derails you. It derails them. It's just not good for the business as a whole.
Totally. And I think, like, early on when I was doing this, I kind of felt a little bit weird about giving my teammates, like, such detailed instructions, right? And like, I'd be like, well, are they going to feel like I'm...
like they're robots or something? Like,
yeah, like they're robots, yeah. or that I don't recognize, like, how smart and talented they are, or something like that. But really what I came to realize is they need this stuff, and they appreciate the level of detail. Like, I constantly get notes from, like, new contractors who start working with me, you know, saying, like, wow, like, these specs are really detailed. This makes my job, like, super easy. That's what they want. Like, they want to have everything that they need to like hit it out of the park every time. Mm-hmm. You know? And then, you know, because I also work with a lot of, like, temporary contractors, you know, from like I'll bring in a developer from time to time. And the guys that I work with tend to get booked up really fast. Like, they're awesome. So it's actually difficult for me to get into their calendar to get them to work on something for me. But after they work with me a couple of times, they know how easy I am to work with. They know the level of detail, like, in terms of documentation and scope and specs. Like, they know that I'm going to be, like, one of their best clients. So then they start to make time for me, you know, and then it just makes the whole team, you know, work, you know, much more efficient, and things get done, and it just works.
Right. Right. Cool. So I think this was my mind's spinning with ways to kind of distill this into a lot of what I'm working on with this new agency I'm starting. But Brian, I just want to thank you so much for coming on. So we are, I think, December 9th. You and I are going to be talking over a live webinar about all things this. So if you're on
yes,
my
sir.
List, expect an email December 2nd or around then, hopefully December 2nd, with information about that event. But in the meantime, what's the best way to find out more about you?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, Brennan. And so thanks for having me on. As always, you can reach me on my website, castjam.com. You can send me an email, brian@castjam.com. You know, I read and reply to everyone. I am at castjam on Twitter. So make it easy. It's all pretty consistent there. And Jordan and I are also our mutual friend. He's the co-host of Bootstrapped Web, and we do that every week as well. So that's at bootstrappedweb.com.
Really good. I was actually listening to it this morning on driving my kids to school.
Oh, very cool.
I guess that paints my bad father figure, but
I don't know if it's family friendly, but
I've made the mistake of listening to Bootstrap with kids with the girls before. Not happening again. Sorry, Brecht and Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's a great podcast. So keep it up.
Thank you.
Cool. Alrighty. So thanks for coming on, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Brennan.
All right. Bye. All right. So as I mentioned during the interview with Brian, he and I later this month, so I'm recording this early December, by mid-December, we're going to be having a free live roundtable workshop / teardown session that that you as a listener are invited to join us at. What we're going to be doing during this event is really going in depth into what we covered during this discussion, but also myself and Brian will be there to kind of answer any questions you have about, you know, how you can get started yourself or how you can get started productizing what you're doing, your ideas, your specific examples of like, hey, I'm thinking of doing this. What do you think? Do you think I should do this instead? We're going to be there to answer any questions you have. So we'd love for you to join us to do that. You're going to need to get on my list, and that is at doubleyourfreelancing.com/newsletter. If you do that within a few days of this recording going live, you will be able to get, you'll get the email registration notification email for the event. So I hope you can join us. So that is another episode of the Business of Freelancing podcast. I hope you had a great time, and I hope you got a lot out of this discussion, and I will see you next time.